Architect Richard Gage with us as we talk about 9/11 and the World Trade Center towers, Building 7. He is with his 2,200 architects and engineers that are part of the Truth Movement demanding a new investigation into the destruction of those three high-rise buildings. And you know what? We should. We really should. We'll be back in a moment with them. We'll take your calls as well on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, Richard Gage with us. Richard, explain nanothermite and how that plays into this equation here.
There are small red-gray chips found in all the dust samples, independently collected and analyzed by a small team of scientists led by Niels Harrit in Copenhagen. The results are fascinating. What they find in these chips are particles at the size of 1,000 times smaller than the diameter of a human hair. Nanoparticles of iron oxide and aluminum powder in all these chips, which are in all the dust samples, collected and analyzed by other chemical engineers as well. And what this is the element of the mixture of thermite, an incendiary used by the military, as we discussed. But at this small scale, what these particles do because of their massive surface area is they ignite almost instantly, and they become much more powerful than incendiaries. So they're incendiaries designed to become explosive, and they're actually set in an organic bed of oxygen, silica, and carbon, which produces the gas-expanding qualities of explosives. So this is an incredible material that should not be found in all the World Trade Center dust samples. It's absolutely incredible. They have documented this in a 25-page peer-reviewed paper in the Bentham Open Chemical Physics Journal. It is evidence of a material that's the most advanced form of thermite available, made only in the most sophisticated defense contracting laboratories. This is not something you'd find in a cave in Afghanistan or that is made there. It's an extremely sophisticated process. So this is one of the items that is of evidence that is denied by Judy Wood, whom you asked me about before the break. It's a damning indictment of not Muslims per se, because this is quite sophisticated material. Another piece of evidence not denied, actually, by Judy Wood is the molten metal. She says, well, everything that glows is not hot, but infrared satellite photos actually document quite well temperatures exceeding 2,800 degrees, again, the melting point of iron, corroborating the eyewitness accounts of first responders and structural engineers and iron workers who said and have seen pools of molten iron. In fact, the first responders said it's flowing like lava. They call it molten steel. A little river of molten steel. Leslie Robertson, the World Trade Center structural engineer himself, points out. And then flowing out of the South Tower just 10 minutes prior to its demise is a pool of molten steel or iron, bright white and yellow, indicating its temperature exceeding the melting point of iron or steel also. So this is also just damning evidence to the official story, which also denies temperatures capable of melting steel, because, of course, jet fuel and office fires cannot possibly melt steel. But also, Judy Wood denies the eyewitness accounts of explosions, for which there are, among first responders alone, over 118 accounts, very well documented in the oral histories. They say, boom, 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 like they're trying to bring down a building or something, the first responders, and many of the others see bright flashes associated with these booms. 118 accounts altogether, and hundreds more from the journalists and witnesses below. In fact, these explosions, most of them appear at the onset of the destruction of the towers, and after 4 seconds, when the upper point part of the North Tower is virtually destroyed in an implosion, much like Building 7, actually, in the first 4 seconds, this upper block is completely destroyed, and yet we're told by officials that this upper block is what drove the rest of the towers, in each case North and South Tower, down to the ground. But we don't see that at all in the videos, George. What we see is, and what we hear is the explosions through these first responder eyewitness accounts, and then these lateral ejections of structural steel sections 60 miles an hour laterally, landing 600 feet in every direction. This alone is evidence of high-energy explosives, at least, if not nanothermite. We don't know exactly which. We assume both. But that's evidence not of directed energy weapons softening or making steel disappear, as Judy Wood claims, but sending it in every direction laterally. That's the energy of a 200-pound cannonball going 3 miles in each case, these four-ton structural steel sections, and they are all over the place, such that there's no pile of floors found at the bottom of either of these towers, just a two-story pile of core columns and perimeter columns, which is why she said the steel disappeared. But it didn't disappear. It's in a 1,400-foot diameter array around each of these towers, well beyond the boundaries of Ground Zero. Very different, by the way, from the nice, neat, classic implosion that Building 7 was, which is why we suggest there didn't appear to be high-energy explosives or nanothermite in the case of Building 7, because it's so neatly compacted, but it was completely destroyed, one structural steel section from another. That can't possibly happen in a gravitational or natural collapse, because these structural connections are the most are actually stronger than the beams themselves. They know that's the weakest point, so they over-design them so that they can't fail, especially in a moment-resisting steel frame structure like World Trade Center 7.
So Richard, it
couldn't possibly happen.
Let's take some calls here in a second for you. They're lining up. But have you had other architects who do not agree with the theories of the 9/11 architects truth movement, who simply say, hey, that's it. That's happened. The, you know, the steel got hot, it melted, and the building started to collapse. I mean,
yeah,
are there
a few. Go ahead.
Are there other architects out there that would agree with the official version?
Yes, and most of them have not taken the time to look at the 43 experts. And I'm talking high-rise architects, structural engineers, metallurgists, chemists, physicists, controlled demolition experts who are arrayed in our DVD, 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out. It is a very convincing piece of documentary filmmaking that convinces most everybody who looks at it. We always do a show of hands in our presentations, and those who don't agree with us coming in, almost overwhelmingly, 90 to 100%, are agreeing with us afterward. But nevertheless, there are a few who continue to support the official story, and there are some people who, you know, just need to keep to their own version of events, but these are few and far between. We have not found but a handful, 3, 4, 5 of them who say they've looked at our evidence. We don't know if our DVD, we don't know if that's actually true, and continue to hold to their beliefs, because I think that's what we're talking about here. We were all subjected to shock and awe on the morning of 9/11, and we were looking to experts to give us the answers in an extremely stressful situation. of cognitive dissonance that we were put in.
Yeah.
And it keeps us from having to revisit the pain back on 9/11 that we were all experiencing. We're hoping that now 13 years has given us enough distance from that event to actually begin as a society to look with a public consciousness, with a clear set of eyes and hopefully a cleared set of emotions that can transcend the enormous post-hypnotic stress that we've been subjected to. We think we think society is now ready, because George, it's not too dissimilar from a situation of a family suffering from, for instance, incestuous abuse, where it's almost impossible, certainly for the victim, to raise the awareness of the family to the information, the truth about what happened, because it's the victim is the first a person who gets put down in order to keep the family system intact. In fact, that victim's dependent upon that system in order for his or her own survival. So this is not too dissimilar from the situation our society faces now, where we have now millions, actually, in the 9/11 truth movement, aware of the situation, thousands speaking up. But it's just not enough to deal with the enormity of the implications of this evidence, which of course points toward an inside operation. Nobody can imagine people in charge evil enough to conspire to murder U.S. citizens in order to advance these objectives that they clearly defined, for instance, in the Project for a New American Century back before 9/11, a website which stated the objectives of, in this case, the neocons, many of which came into power under the Bush administration, stating that we must have regional hegemony in the Middle East, we must have space dominance, we must increase by vast proportions the military budget. So
yeah,
there's another suspect, if you will.
All right, Richard, let's take some calls here for you. We've got Mike in Connecticut on the wild card line to get us going here. Hey, Mike, go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Very factual show. Those planes, when they hit the towers, they had plenty of time to cook and weaken those steel beams, correct? They had about an hour in each tower to really weaken
yeah.
the structure?
Let's call it that.
Okay. And the floors were cement slab construction, am I correct?
Yes.
Okay, so the steel was weak enough, and as those cement floors collapsed, they gained force or inertia. I don't know. To me, it seems like the most plausible explanation.
But what about Building 7, though?
That's why we have the most architects and engineers who aren't aware of the actual evidence for controlled demolition believing the official story and willing to stick by it, because like myself, for the first 5 years after 9/11, it sounded plausible what you're saying exactly. Let's just say you know, that's true. That doesn't account for any of the evidence that we have cited and cite in our DVDs overwhelming evidence for. We talked about lateral ejection. We didn't talk about the pulverization in midair of 90,000 tons of concrete in each of these towers turned to dust after witnesses, first responders, hear and document the sounds of explosions in midair. This is not after a gravitational collapse where it's crushed down at the bottom. In fact, there's no concrete, or very little, down at the bottom of these towers.
You should have had huge slabs. Huge slabs should have been down there, Richard.
Not only huge slabs of concrete, but the 220 acres of fluted metal decking that these slabs were poured in originally. This is galvanized steel decking, 220 acres of it all together, missing at the bottom of each of what we're told was a gravitational collapse.
Let's go to CNCO in Louisiana, east of the Rockies. Hi, CNCO. Go ahead.
Say, I have several questions. Perhaps the most intriguing is, why would two planes be leaving from the same city, going to the same town, 20 minutes apart, half full. Why would they be doing that? Is that a normal for their schedule? And why no black boxes? And did the same owner own all three buildings?
Well, he leased them, did he not, Richard?
Yeah, we're talking about Larry Silverstein in particular, who owns some companies that he did own and build, in fact, World Trade Center Building 7 in the late 80s. And the Twin Towers he secured through a 99-year lease from the Port Authority, which closed just 6 weeks prior to 9/11. Which is a very interesting set of coincidences as well. These were public buildings, and through what we understand is a rigged bid, he secured that lease and paid actually only $125 million of his own money, paying owing $3.2 billion on him, but he never had to pay that due to the extraordinary contract that he had with the Port Authority, where he didn't have to pay for the buildings if anything happened. In fact, he got $5.6 billion in return in insurance settlements. So that's not physical evidence, but I think it's important for people to understand. And in October, he came out, I guess it was a year later, he came out on PBS saying publicly, interestingly enough, well, I was talking to the fire commander, and there's been such terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And so they gave the order to pull, and we watched the building come down.
And it's not unusual, by the way, to have a couple flights leave the same airport and head for the same city. Going to Los Angeles, for example, there were two separate airlines, right? There was United Airlines and there was an American flight. So that's very common.
I think that's correct. I don't have a comment on the flight.
All right, thanks, CNCO. I appreciate it. Richard, if people want information on what you talk about, what can they do? Where can they go?
Well, we're encouraging people to look at the website, which is AE911truth.org. That's AE for architects and engineers, AE911truth.org. And on that site, people can download for free the brochures that we have and print them locally so that we can get this information out to the people on the street. On the 11th of every month, particularly this month coming up here in September, we have massive outreach going to Americans all across the country.
All right, we're going to come back in a moment for Richard Gage. And, of course, next week being the anniversary, 13 years, almost 3,000 people died in those attacks, 227 civilians, 19 hijackers on the four planes. Deadliest incident for firefighters, 343 of them died, 72 police officers. If you like television, you're going to love our television show, internet-based, called Beyond Belief. Lots of programs, and next Monday, of course, you get to see Patricia Bragg in action. She, of course, is the expert on apple cider vinegar and health-related issues. You talk about a bubbly person. My gosh, you've got to look at her. She dressed up in pink with her big flowery hat. It's unbelievable. How do you watch the show? Just go to beyondbelief.com. You can sign up for it for free for 10 days so you can watch Patricia and all the other programs we've done at beyondbelief.com. That's www.beyondbelief.com. Welcome back. Final segment with Richard Gage. Now, Richard, I know you want a new investigation, but 13 years later, can they conduct one, a thorough one, 13 years later, in your opinion?
Well, one question is, who are they? We certainly don't want any of the perpetrators investigating themselves. And so that is one potential problem here. But there's certainly enough evidence for a group, perhaps an international group, an independent group, one that's uncorruptible, if such can be found. There's enough evidence to look at. There's plenty of steel. There's plenty of dust. In fact, they have encapsulated it under a 6-foot thick concrete slab over the Fresh Kills area where many, 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 many tons of it have been buried. And it contains the evidence, the iron microspheres, the nanothermite, as well as the pulverized human beings, 2,000 of which, or 1,100 of which, actually, we don't have any trace of 3,000 people.
Oh,
there were 20,000 body parts that were too small enough to fit into a test tube. This is incredible. There were 700 bone fragments found on top of the Deutsche Bank building, just a half an inch long, at the high rise across the street from the South Tower. How did they get so small? What were they doing on top of the high-rise way over there? So many unanswered questions. But yes, we can get somebody to look at all, some group, to look at all these questions. Perhaps we need a total clearing out of our government in order to get the willpower to go back and look at it, but that we must.
Let's go to Hawaii. James is with us. Hi, James. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
I've been waiting 13 years to get this online.
Right.
I heard this one time on the radio news, and no one has ever commented on it ever. The training base in Florida that was training pilots from all other countries to fly commercial planes called the FBI in New York that there are people here that only want to learn how to take off and not to land, and they didn't investigate it. I heard a man on the radio that was telling this frantically after 9/11. The FBI is responsible for 9/11, and even, you might say, some of the wars that were in after. The FBI does not share information with any other law enforcement. They want to have all the credit for themselves. And I heard this myself, and I was wondering, never has anybody ever commented on it. It was just on the news here in Hawaii. And I just couldn't figure it out. But I think the FBI I think they closed that one up as quick as they could. But that's the story. They called up the FBI in New York, and they wouldn't investigate it.
In fact, the FBI's chief of counterintelligence looked at our DVD, and he wrote back, and this is on our website, ae911truth.org. He said, interesting research backed by thorough research and analysis, but we were unable to get a hold of him after he wrote that, and can't find him today.
Take a few more calls here with our special guest, Richard Gage. Richard, is the list, by the way, the 2,200 architects, it must be growing because, gosh, even the last time we had you on the program, it wasn't nearly that high.
Yeah, it is growing. It's growing fast. And when we reached 1,000 architects and engineers, we gave every member of Congress our DVD along with the petition that 1,000 of them signed. And we did it again last September when we reached 2,000, and still hardly any response from any of the members, the staffers whom we've met, 36 offices. We've met with the staffers of the congressmen and senators, and they're blown away. They said, we've got to get this to the congressman. But then we get these letters back. Oh, we appreciate your efforts. We support the 9/11 commission, and terrorism is a bad thing, and we don't believe in conspiracy theories. No comment on the evidence that we present whatsoever, typically, and that's what we get from mainstream media as well.
All right, let's go next to John in Albany, New York. You're on with Richard Gage. John, go ahead.
Well, my biggest thing is no one can explain Building 6 is still standing, but it's hollow from the aerial footage.
And yeah, Building 6 appears
towers.
Yeah, Building 6 appears to have some massive explosions in the center of it. In fact, it appears those explosions are evident in some of the videos which show explosions even before the towers coming down. It is rather extraordinary.
Okay, thanks, John. Appreciate you being part of the program. Good question. We'll go to Kenneth next in Texas, east of the Rockies. Kenneth, go ahead.
Yes, well,
I have a number of issues that I wanted to bring up, just being a longtime construction guy and a contractor for Halliburton and KBR as well.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, the thermite that has been brought up, no one has brought up the fact that these things are very easy to make at home with just simple pencil lead or graphite and aluminum shavings and steel. That's number one. Number two, the drone, quote-unquote, attack. Just the fact that fly-by-wire has something that is something that's been in effect since 1994. So it's very easy to fly-by-wire military or commercial vehicles. That's number
two. In fact, in 2000, even, they had remote-controlled airliners, remote-controlled devices installed in airliners, such as the ones that hit the World Trade Center. And these are, in fact, controlled, provided by companies. A company who the director is Doug Zakheim, one of the Bush administration insiders. So we really need to be looking at remote-controlled aircraft because who having set up such an extensive scenario, an inside operation such as this, would trust hijackers to hit their targets at 500 or 600 miles an hour, who failed Cessna flying school, in fact. Many people, researchers, believe that the hijackers, in fact, weren't even on the planes. In fact, seven of them were interviewed after 9/11 alive in London on the New York, the Guardian and another newspaper in the UK. I forget the name of the second one. So that's incredible. That wasn't even picked up by mainstream media. They say, hey, that's my picture. That's my birthday, but I'm not a terrorist. What gives? I mean, this is incredible.
I had heard
regarding
that
thermite. Thermite is, in fact, actually, you're right, easy to make at home. Normal thermite, which we believe it was used at World Trade Center 7. It's a mixture of iron oxide and aluminum powder. You can get each of these mixtures on eBay. And that is the only thing that can be responsible for the free fall acceleration of Building 7. I mean, an object in free fall, such as a bowling ball falling off the side of the building, and the building itself, they fall at the same speed, meaning no resistance from any of the 80 columns in that building. Not one of those columns gave any resistance to the collapse of this building. They were all cut at once on each of eight given floors. That's incredible and cannot be explained by the few small scattered fires that were in this building. In fact, those fires were out over an hour before this building came down. They could not have been responsible, as is claimed by NIST, for the collapse of this building.
The whistleblowers that are out there, has anybody come forward to say, look, I put explosive in the building. I did this, I did that. Anything?
They might have come forward. The question is, would we know about it if they did? Would the media report it? They haven't reported anything else relative to the truth and the evidence about 9/11. So we don't think there's a climate out there to support whistleblowers these days, particularly given the evidence of whistleblowers like Edward Snowden and William Binney and Mr. Drake, who have come forward and been severely condemned, not only by the intelligence agencies they come out of, but the mainstream media as well.
Okay, let's go back to the calls. We'll go to Gary in Tampa, Florida. Gary, go ahead. You're on with us.
Yes, sir. I wanted to submit to Richard that we cannot live in a free society without the truth. And you, sir, seeking out the truth, as far as I'm concerned, are an American patriot. I got a quick question and then a comment, and then I'll get off here because I know you got other callers. Relative to the lease that you were just talking about, isn't it interesting that that man bought the lease 6 weeks before the buildings came down, and now he's in control of a brand-new, state-of-the-art building? This is like it was a real estate redevelopment plan. There's no way he would have gotten the permits to demolish those buildings. But yet today he's in charge, or owns the lease for a brand new state-of-the-art building. Also, relative to number 7, have you heard about a report where a BBC reporter was showing a picture of number 7 and reported live on the air that building 7 just collapsed, and yet there's a live picture of it still standing, and then it collapsed two or 3 seconds later? I'll get off the air and listen to your responses. Thank you for what you're doing, sir.
I had heard, and I think I saw that, Richard, on video, that BBC reporter in front of Building 7 saying it was down. It was there, just standing right behind it.
Absolutely. This is 20 minutes before the building came down. They announce its collapse, and they even announce the reason for the collapse. They say due to structural weakening because of the fires. Now, that's incredible. Given that the building hadn't collapsed and that no other building had come down by fire alone ever in the history of skyscrapers. So we also have the CNN announcing the collapse of the building at 10:45, they say it collapsed, that morning. Now, had the building collapsed at that time, there would have been a massive dust cloud from the Twin Towers that would have obscured it. So many people speculate that this building was supposed to come down, and that's why CNN and the BBC had this script about when it came down and how it came down, because researchers believe that it was a dud. Well, we don't really know, but we wouldn't have the evidence that we have, the incredible video evidence, 7 different videos of this building coming down, if it weren't for the delay in its coming down.
What do you think, Richard, is the most compelling piece of evidence to back up what you and the group have been saying?
We have it right in front of our noses, George. It is the video collapse of Building 7, as well as the Twin Towers. Each of them are destroyed suddenly, rapidly, explosively, at free fall in the case of Building 7, and at darn near free fall. Almost free fall acceleration in the Twin Towers. Each of them are accelerating straight down through the path of what was the greatest resistance, and it's completely shattered, top to bottom, 110 stories, one structural element from another, completely shattered in less than 12 seconds. That is absolutely extraordinary and evidence of itself of explosive destruction, despite all the forensic evidence that we have so plentiful.
Let's go to Woody in Whitehall, Pennsylvania. Woody, you're up with us. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning.
Morning, Woody.
One thing that always bothered me was, as the upper floors collapsed, I know there was inertia involved, but they didn't get any heavier. And when they got to the floors that weren't affected by the fire, I always thought those floors should have continued to support that weight. So it should have stopped at some point.
That's right, and that analysis is one which structural engineers are completely capable of calculating the resistance of the cold, hard, intact steel below to resist any falling mass, and it should have arrested it completely, and perhaps then this upper section would fall off the building, you know, instead of go straight down through the path of what you accurately described as the greatest resistance. So, in fact, there is no upper part that is left after 4 seconds. It telescopes down on itself in the first 4 seconds, exactly like Building 7, as a matter of fact, after first responders describe bands of explosions wrapping all around the building and seeing flashes of light. So not only do we have an implosion in the first 4 seconds, but then we have a series of explosions. First responders here that are hurling these 4-ton structural steel sections laterally at 65 miles in every direction, uniformly, symmetrically, landing 600 feet away.
Okay, next up, we've got time for one more. Donald in Toronto. Donald, go ahead.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. I'm a fan of both of yours. I saw both of you in Toronto at different times, obviously. I saw Richard on March the 20th. I think one of the major problems, if not the major problem, is when people hear this information, the idea of a conspiracy theory immediately comes into their mind, and their mind shuts down. Since 1963, according to Alex Jones anyway, there was an official CIA program to put the idea that anything that's against the government is a conspiracy theory, therefore it acts as a breaker switch to the mind. So getting past that mechanism, I think, is really the critical issue. Now, how we could do that is by coming up with the idea that or just putting forth the idea that we will not accept any more conspiracy theories, that everyone has to agree with that. And essentially, if you come up with the idea that there are no more conspiracy theories, then Lenin said, by slogans, we will win. So come up with that slogan, put it forth, and say, there are 11 pieces of evidence. It was a controlled demolition, and there was zero piece of evidence that it was a collapse by fire. Therefore, by definition, this is a conspiracy theory. Therefore, we don't accept it. We don't accept any conspiracy theories, and we don't. And by slogans, we will win, according to Lenin. So my idea is, if we can just hammer this idea out there, and you know, hammer may be the wrong word, but put it out there consistently, and say that we don't accept conspiracy theories. Everyone has to agree with that, because we've been programmed to believe that categorically. Therefore, oh, that's right, I will listen to this, because they're going against the conspiracy theory. Anyway, I just want to put that forward.
All right. Well, no time to react, Richard. We're out of time, but I want to thank you for being on the program. Richard's website linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. I'll be back in a moment with Father Andrew Wingate as we talk about exorcisms in Fatima.